reading is from Matthew chapter 22. It's on page 32 of the New Testament part of the Bible. It's verses 1 to 10 of the parable of the wedding feast. Jesus again used parables in talking to the people. The kingdom of heaven is like this. Once there was a king who prepared a wedding feast for his son. He sent his servants to tell the invited guests to come to the feast, but they did not want to come. So he sent other servants with this message for the guests. My feast is ready now. My bullocks and prize calves have been butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But the invited guests paid no attention and went about their business. One went to his farm, another to his shop, while others grabbed the servants, beat them and killed them. The king was very angry, so he sent his soldiers who killed those murderers and burnt down their city. Then he called his servants and said to them, "My wedding feast is ready, but the people I invited did not deserve it. Now go to the main streets and invite to the feast as many people as you can find." So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, good and bad alike, and the wedding hall was filled with people.
Thank you. Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It seems a long time ago, but some of you may remember that a number of weeks ago I started a series of sermons on the Lord's Prayer, and then we were rudely interrupted by a number of things, including my holiday. So we're only on the second bit of the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I think I've said this before. There are some people here I know who say to me, I wish we didn't say that prayer every week. And I want to emphasize the fact that I want to say it every week because it's a really important prayer to say. The important bit is the attitude by which you say it. When we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven, we pray that the kingdom of God may be extended from heaven to earth, that his will be done here just as it is done in heaven. Diane Tidball is president of the Baptist Union this year, and her theme is As in Heaven. The kingdom of God was central to the teaching and mission of Jesus. It's mentioned dozens of times throughout the Gospels, but the concept is a hard one to understand. Jesus, unfortunately, didn't give us a short summary of the kingdom. Instead, he told stories and used metaphors in order to expand our understanding of the kingdom of God. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven is like a banquet and a wedding feast, and the door will be closed to some. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. You would be wise to sell everything you own to buy that field to get the treasure. Or the kingdom of heaven is like a net cast wide. It pulls in all sorts of fish, and the good fish must be separated from the bad. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who hired laborers to work on the fields. He hired them at different times of the day, but at the end of the day, he paid them all equally. The kingdom has a funny economy. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. From a small beginning comes a great tree. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. It permeates all silently and pervasively. And besides using parables, Jesus also dropped comments here and there about the kingdom. He said that the kingdom of heaven is hard for the rich to enter. He said the kingdom must be received like a child. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. We should seek the kingdom first, and then worldly needs such as food and clothing will be given to us. Before his crucifixion, Jesus told his disciples he would not drink or eat again with them until he does so in the kingdom of God. He said that if your eye, your hand, prevents you from entering the kingdom, pluck it out or cut it off. He said that a great reversal is coming when prostitutes and tax collectors will enter the kingdom before the Pharisees. He said that the Pharisees had shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. What are you and I to make of all of this? What does the phrase kingdom of heaven mean? Well, a kingdom is one sphere of control. A kingdom is a place you have arranged to suit your purposes and your values. It's an environment arranged according to what you like. So my car is my kingdom. I arrange it to suit me. I have my seat set at the right height. I have my mirror adjusted so I can see because of my height. I tune my radio to the stations I like to listen to. My car is my kingdom. I remember loaning my car to somebody once, and how irritating it was that the first thing I had to do was adjust the seat, adjust the steering wheel, and then the radio stations had changed. And I had to change them all back again. I remember as a nurse once looking after a lady who was 106 years old, beats you, Mrs. Barnard, 106. And she was telling me how she embroidered part of the Queen's wedding dress. And she had made clothes for the royal family children years ago. And she had a side room on the ward. And she made that side room her kingdom. She decided who would enter and when. And if you did enter, the way you did things for her had to be just so. I remember folding her flannel after giving her a wash one day. No, she said, you don't do it like that. Give it here. And she folded it precisely and then told me exactly where to put it. That was her kingdom. A kingdom is one's sphere of control. So what is God's sphere of authority? Well, God's kingdom is called heaven. It's a place that perfectly reflects the character, his character and his values. It is the place where things operate the way he likes them. It's a place of joy, of truth, of grace, of health, of light, and of his shalom. God's kingdom is a good place because he is good. It reflects him. People don't lie in the kingdom. They love the truth because he is there and he is truth. People don't use each other in God's kingdom. They honor each other. They don't cheat. They love. That's how God likes it. The kingdom of God is called heaven. It's a beautiful place. But God is also king of this earth. If you take the Psalm 47 says this, "How awesome is the Lord Most High, the great king over all the earth." Or Psalm 74, "For you, O God, are my king from of old. You bring salvation upon the earth." And David in 1 Chronicles, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatest and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all." God's kingdom is heaven and earth. However, there's a tension in that statement. It's not a problem accepting the teaching that the kingdom of God is called heaven, but what about earth? In what sense is this earth the kingdom of God? Turn on the news, bump along with the camera down the street of that city in the Middle East. You can almost smell the lingering acrid smell of explosives. Is that the kingdom of God? Walk into the tent of the medical clinic in Africa. Let your eyes adjust to the sudden darkness from the glaring sun. Look at the child over there in the corner on the cot. Is that a child so thin? In what sense is the kingdom of God a kingdom of AIDS orphans? Or take a walk down the streets of London where acid is thrown in the faces of young men on their mopeds so that youngsters can steal a moped and throw acid at others. Does God reign there? Sit at a kitchen table with a family where addiction and abuse are commonplace, where teenage boys sleep with teenage girls, girls who get pregnant, a place where family disagreements always end in shouting and abuse and sometimes in violence. Where is the shalom of God there? We're not the only ones who are confused about the kingdom. Remember, John the Baptist was confused when they threw him into prison. He had preached that the kingdom of God was at hand and that Christ would baptize with unquenchable fire. The Messiah was on the horizon. He was going to knock some heads together. But then John was thrown in prison and he asks, "Are you the one or should we look for another?" You feel that tension? In what sense can we say what the Bible says, that God rules over heaven and earth? Now, theologians have a phrase to describe the tension we live in. The kingdom is already, but not yet. Jesus has come and God has established a beachhead. The kingdom is founded. We see in the Bible how the kingdom is already. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. If I drive out demons, the kingdom has come, said Jesus. The kingdom was established when Christ came to earth and was extended when Jesus defeated death on a cross and then was confirmed with the resurrection. Jesus is the first fruits of the great coming resurrection. But the kingdom of God is not yet. Remember those words from Paul when he wrote to the church in Rome. The whole creation is groaning in the pains of childbirth. We ourselves groan as we await the redemption of our own bodies. So the kingdom of God is here, but it is not yet what it will be. And that's why Jesus taught us to pray that the kingdom would come on earth just as it is in heaven. I like the way John Ortberg puts it. May up there come down here. In other words, we pray, may your sphere of authority, O God, be extended to this earth. Please arrange things down here just as you do up there. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May up there come down here. That's what I'd like all of us to pray. Some of you may have read my article in the Town Crier, which is on just this theme. And I spoke of a family earlier. And I sit at that table regularly. And the other day, Mum said to me, I read your article the other day. I said, did you? She said, yeah. And then a few days later, I popped around and she said, do you know, every morning I say the Lord's Prayer to myself and I pause after each phrase to reflect on what it means. You never know, do you, when you write those articles, what impact it has. Something of the kingdom of God coming into the abusive, addictive anarchy of a family's life. Or when you walk the streets of the Middle East, you see it on TV through our media, and you can sense the smell of the acrid smoke and explosives. You say, may up there come down here. May the peace of Jerusalem be more than a phrase. When you walk in the tent of the medical clinic in Africa and you see the 5-year-old child, may up there come down here. When you hear the news of terrorist attacks or when acid is thrown to passers-by, may up there come down here. Or when I sit at the kitchen table of that family, may up there come down here. Or in your neighborhood, or in this country, in your family, in your workplace, in this church, in your clubs, in your small group, in the shop, in your colleagues and friends and family, in your heart, in your attitude, in your beliefs. May God be king. May he set up things the way he likes them. May up there come down here. Notice what we imply when we pray that prayer. Only God can bring in the kingdom. This is not a self-help social gospel message. No, this is a job for God alone. So we pray the earliest prayer of the Christian church. Maranatha, come Lord Jesus. Make things right. May up there come down here. But also notice when we pray that prayer, we imply that we work, we partner with God. The prayer is a request, yes, but it's also a declaration, an affirmation. If our hearts long for the glory of God to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, then we also work to bring that about. We use our money and our resources to partner with God in establishing the kingdom. Some of you have the stewardship of money. Use it to make a difference. And as you steward God's money, pray, may up there come down here. Some of you have the gift of extra time. Use it to partner with God and pray, may up there come down here. All of you, all of us, have spiritual gifts of wisdom and leadership, of mercy, of teaching, of faith, of hospitality. Use them. Invest in them. While waiting for the kingdom to be established in all its fullness, we partner with God and always pray, may up there come down here. May God reign in your life and mine. Amen.